TransUnion, Mr. Pletz.
May it please the court, James Peets, on behalf of the appellants here, two individuals, Heather Gillespie and Angela Simpson. Your Honors, this case presents a question of statutory interpretation of the file disclosure provision of the Fair Credit Reporting Act. Specifically, it deals with whether the date of delinquency or the purge date, a date that is used by credit reporting agencies to comply with the rule prohibiting the disclosure of obsolete information, whether that information must be disclosed as part of the file disclosure provision. The district court held that it was not required to be disclosed. And for the reasons set forth in our brief, we would ask that that decision be reversed. But this morning, I really want to address two primary points that support our position. Number one, the district court didn't apply the statutory definition of file, which says all information in the file. We contend that was legal error and that the definition of file applies. Second point I want to make is that the file correction procedures of the Act simply don't work unless this important information is disclosed. So let me go back and talk about the first issue, which is...
Why do you think they don't disclose this?
Well, Your Honor, that's a good question. I can only speculate.
Right.
My speculation is that they have major clients who have credit information or credit accounts that they want to be collected, and this is a way of helping them collect those accounts. Reporting of delinquent information to a credit bureau is a key way to assist in the collection of an account. And if consumers don't have that information, I think it benefits their clients. That's not in the record, Your Honor, but I think that may be the motivation here, because we have this case and then the following case we'll be talking about, the other one, where they sort of hide the date. It's in there, but it's hidden somewhere. So, yes, Your Honor, that's sort of, I think, the motivation here, because look at all the other information that's disclosed, information that comes to them through this Metro 2, this system that was set up to report information to them. Here you have all this other information that's appearing there, but the only piece that doesn't appear there is this Field 25 in Metro 2, which, if you look at Metro 2, gives very extensive directions on what it means and why it's important.
What about the third credit union? What, you know, have any idea what they require?
Experian, I can't answer that, Your Honor. I'm not aware of how they disclose that information, no.
And your reference to Equifax, that they hid it, well, they actually defined it, right? Isn't that what they did? I know we're getting to your other case.
Yeah, we're jumping ahead. They don't define it, no. They define... Okay. So backing up and going to the point where the centerpiece of what we contend is the legal error here, the file was defined as all information in the file, regardless of how it is stored.
You answered Judge Posner's question, but I'm still not quite sure I understand it. If by not putting the date of delinquency in the consumer report, how does that help anybody?
We got to get our terminology correct here, because there's a consumer report, which is the
third party.
That's the third party. Okay, that's given to them. The language here is a file disclosure, and so what the consumer needs that. Is,
well, I understand your argument why the consumer needs that to determine when it should go out. But how does it help? It doesn't help third parties, though, does it? By not being in there or being in there.
By not being in the file disclosure, how does it help third parties?
Right.
I think that if a entity that's trying to collect an account can keep that information on the credit history for a longer period of time, they have an ability to collect here. Like, for example, this case, sort of the class is defined by this entity, Sherman Acquisitions. They specialize in buying old debt. I mean, Angela Simpson's account was from the mid-90s that they purchased from Sears. Okay? They buy that for pennies on the dollar. Okay? So when they buy that, if they can collect on that, that they're making a huge jump. And if they can then keep that information on the credit history for a longer period of time such that it gets reported in connection with...
Well, it would be kept on there illegally then because it'd be beyond, what, is 8 years?
Seven and a half years. It affects a credit score, too. We put some articles in here by the Federal Reserve that are in the record that a credit score, one of the factors is the recency of the debt or the delinquency. So if that can be kept moved forward or kept on there, it could sort of shoot down the credit score. So.
I understand your argument why the consumer wants should be able to measure it. I mean, maybe there's other ways to do it. But I don't see any third party gaining a benefit by whether it's there or not there. I mean, I understand what you're saying is that somebody could go, but then that would be a violation of the statute using that if it's there longer than...
Well, I think my point is the third party here. The third party here would be the client.
Right.
I thought what you were saying was that if the debtor doesn't know that her debt that her record is now clear because 7.5 years have passed, when she gets dunning letters from Sherman or someone, she'll think she better pay in order to clear her credit, not really realizing her credit has been...
Yeah, that's right.
Is that the sort of idea?
That's sort of what happens is, and I think the way it probably works is they get a dunning letter, and they're saying, who is this company, Sherman Acquisitions? I've never heard of them. I've never dealt with them. So they go to their credit file, and they look at it to find out who are they. And then that's when... They need that date because then if they want to contest that or determine who they are, that may tell them when this debt was incurred.
But doesn't that report indicate that they bought that account from Sears?
Yes, it shows the.
So if they get the report, it'll show it.
It should show it unless, for example, the Sears account was deleted, but then. Sherman's still there. It may not, but in Angela Simpson's case, yes, they were both.
So she could have figured out, but so your argument is she could have figured out that it was stale, but if you're saying if the report had stated, you know, your purge date or your liberation from debtor's hell or something is X, then she just compare that date and she'd realize that she was... Is it something like that?
Yeah, but for example, in Angela Simpson's situation, it was kind of strange because her TransUnion file said, her file disclosure said, that account was charged off in 1997. Well, if it was charged off in 1997, the date of delinquency had to be before that date. So... That was kind of very confusing to her. She was writing letters to them. This was an old account. What I'm saying is, if it says right there in the credit file, FCRA compliance, date of first delinquency, that's what it's called on Metro 2, and then at the beginning where they have the definition section, this is the date of delinquency, they can immediately figure that out, go to their file, and then use these private policing procedures of the act to try and deal with that. I mean, that's sort of the first step in the process. Here is the file disclosure procedure, and that's how they the system's supposed to work. And I guess the sort of the major point I want to make here is that right there at the outset, the procedure is hindered because they don't have that necessary date.
We'll give you a little extra time because we distracted you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pleads. Mr. O'Neill?
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning. May it please the Court. I would like to address Judge Posner's question, which is, why wouldn't TransUnion report the date of delinquency, or more precisely, the purge date? Because, as you know, there's a distinction between those two, which I'll get to. One of the reasons why it's an interesting question is because plaintiffs here are not simply alleging that TransUnion violated the FCRA. They are alleging on behalf of a class that TransUnion willfully and knowingly violated the FCRA. So the question about why would we not report the date of delinquency is an apt one. One reason is because the Federal Trade Commission told us that we shouldn't report that date. The Federal Trade Commission is the agency charged with enforcing the Fair Credit Reporting Act against credit bureaus like TransUnion. And in the 1990 commentary of the FTC, consistent with its earlier pronouncements, it unequivocally stated that what TransUnion must be delivering to consumers in a foul disclosure is the same information that they deliver to credit granters and customers in credit reports. That because TransUnion does not report date of delinquency, or more precisely, the calculated purge date, in credit reports delivered to credit granters, similarly, as instructed by the Federal Trade Commission, TransUnion did not report that information to consumers.
Why isn't it indicated in the report?
Because it's irrelevant, for starters. It's irrelevant for credit granters. But the reason why it's not included in reports to consumers, or called foul disclosures, because it would be confusing. The plaintiffs in this case have consistently tried to merge the two types of data here. One is the reported date of delinquency, which the furnisher delivers to TransUnion. TransUnion uses that information, along with a lot of other information, to calculate an internal date, which we call the purge date. The purge date is actually a pro-consumer effort on the part of TransUnion to not simply parrot, as Mr. Peets would suggest we're doing, not simply parrot the reported date of delinquency that Sherman reports to us, but instead to evaluate all the information in the report to see if we can push back the date of that trade line or that account so it'll roll off earlier. That is a pro-consumer procedure by TransUnion. So the purge date, which is the only date that TransUnion retains, and therefore is the only date that might even be subject to the foul disclosure requirement, the purge date is a calculated date that, if we reported it to the consumer wouldn't know what that means. The consumer would not know
This is the 7.5 years?
No, Your Honor. The data furnishers report a date of delinquency, which is
What was purge date? I'm confused now. What is it?
The date
of delinquency. Now, what's the purge date?
The purge date is a date that TransUnion calculates internally, taking not only the reported date of delinquency, but other dates related to the account. One example was Ms. Simpson.
What is it?
It is a date that TransUnion uses to...
What is it?
It is a month and a year date, Your Honor.
Oh, please. What is its relation to... Is it the same date as the delinquency date?
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's an earlier date. It will never be a later date. It would be an earlier date if we think that actually the reported date of delinquency that the data furnisher has provided is actually inaccurate and that it actually should be an earlier date.
So your purge date, that's your calculation of when the 7.5 years begins to run?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Well, that would be very valuable information for a consumer.
But Your Honor, Mr. Peets says the reason why the consumer should have that so the consumer can verify it or dispute it. There is no way, Your Honor, that the consumer can know whether or not that date is accurate. A good example is Ms. Simpson, one of the plaintiffs here. The reported date of delinquency by Sears was October of 1998.
I don't understand you, because the statute says all information in the consumer's file. with some exceptions. It doesn't say all information that the consumer can verify.
You're absolutely right, Your Honor. And if you look at the...
You have arbitrary power to decide what's in the file and what's out of the file?
Absolutely not, Your Honor. If you look at the four or five words in the definition of file, in isolation, you could read it to mean all information in the file.
Absolutely.
The plaintiffs have never read it that way. The Federal Trade Commission has never read it that way. Nobody in the industry has ever read it that way. If you look at how Congress has used the term file interchangeably with consumer report, it is abundantly clear, and that was the basis for the Federal Trade Commission's guidelines, that what Congress intended was that consumers get a copy of whatever credit granters get a copy of so that they can compare that. And if you look in Section 1681G, which is the file disclosure requirement, subsection C of that same provision instructs the Federal Trade Commission to advise consumers of their right to get a file disclosure. They refer to it as a right to get a consumer report. It is unequivocally clear, Your Honors, that Congress clearly intended that the file to be disclosed should be the same information that credit granters get because that's the information that the plaintiffs are interested
in. So your argument is if you gave them that information, it would confuse the consumer.
That's one of the arguments, Your Honor, yes.
What other arguments?
The other argument is that because credit granters don't get
well,
that.
Well, I understand that then you say you don't have to do it. But if it's in your file...
There are lots of information that we get that we do not disclose to credit granters or to consumers. If, as the plaintiff suggests, we were required to and this is what plaintiffs say, we must disclose everything that we get from every furnisher just in the format that it's being disclosed to us, then consumers would get this unwieldy 100-page document which makes no sense. Instead, Congress and the Federal Trade Commission has said, let consumers know what it is credit granters are getting about them, put it in the same format that credit granters get it, so that consumers could readily see what it is that's being told about them and eligibility decisions are being made so that they can determine whether or not any of that information is inaccurate.
Let me just ask, in case I'm missing something here, if this is supposed to be a benefit for the consumer, and I want to get my credit report and see what potential lenders who I'm going to go to are going to be seeing, and I look at the report that you provide, it seems to me it would be very helpful if I could look at that and know there are two or three items, but they won't be there in 6 months from now.
What?
So I maybe I'll hold off on trying to get credit now, 6 months from now, as I've seen this purge date or delinquency date. I know those items won't be listed, so I won't get bad scores for these things in a few months from now. So that would be, I would think, a great benefit to a consumer to have that.
I absolutely agree, Your Honor. That would be a great benefit, and TransUnion provides that information. On the very first page of a file disclosure that TransUnion gives to consumers, right after the name and address information, there's a notice that says, derogatory account information will generally roll off 7 years after the date of the delinquency. It says it on the very first page of the credit report. And then it highlights the negative account information. So on the very first page of the report, Mr. Pietz's clients were told...
You have, as the defendant in the next case, lists delinquency date. Do you list delinquency date?
No, Your Honor.
Why not?
Because it's not information that is...
Why does the other defendant do it, Equifax?
I think that there are... I'm not sure it's as crystal clear that they actually do that.
Well, no, you look at their report. It has a delinquency. There's a little box, delinquency date.
Equifax apparently retains that information. TransUnion does not retain the reported date of delinquency information. The statutory definition is clear that we do not have to disclose anything that we do not retain. So that's why we don't have to retain, or I'm sorry, that's why we don't have to disclose the reported date of delinquency, but we do have to disclose those things which are being disclosed to credit granters. But back to your point, Your Honor, I think it's important. There's been a suggestion that consumers are being deprived of knowledge that these accounts are supposed to roll off after 7 years, and consumers are not giving any information as to what accounts should roll off and when. Well, that's simply not true. If you look at the file disclosures, which are part of the joint appendix for both of the plaintiffs, on the very first page, we make clear to them that this is what happens. And there is no way that...
No, that's not a good answer. Is there a date that the consumer can look at and then add 7.5 years and know that that thing is going to disappear from the credit bureau record of him?
No, there isn't, Your Honor.
And how are you helping the consumer? So you're saying the consumer can't figure out when an item is going to disappear from the credit bureau.
Well, if I could just...
But Equifax doesn't have any problem. They just put the date there, and then you add 7.5. I mean, there's an issue, of course, where they're adding something else, that last activity thing. But they do list a delinquency date, and then you could add the 7.5 years. So why don't you do that?
If I can just answer that question, my time's elapsed. Ms. Simpson, the reported date of delinquency that Sears gave to TransUnion was October of 1998. We calculated in a pro-consumer way and pushed back the purge date to actually November of 1997. If we had put October of 1998 on that file and she had disputed it and we went back to Sears, Sears would agree. He says, you're right, TransUnion, that is wrong.
So in other words, you're saying Equifax is confusing consumers.
I think that's Mr. Pizza's position.
But you agree.
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes, Your Honor. Next case.
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. So, Mr. Pleats, how much time? I think your time expired, but you can have a minute if you'd like. Sure. We promised you. We.
Okay.
Well, then you're going to start the argument in the next case. Right.
Yeah, it's all they flow.
We're postponing your delinquency date. So,
Your Honor, I want to answer the question you posed: what is the purge date? Here, there's this distinction between a date of delinquency and the purge date. I can only speak from the point of view of these two plaintiffs. The purge date that they captured and the date of delinquency were virtually identical. They use, if you read the Stockdale affidavit that they put in, they use the date of delinquency to develop the purge date. Now, if they get other information later on, like furnishers are always supposed to update information, that might change. Okay, so, but it's still, whether you call it the date of delinquency or the purge date, it's still the date that they use to comply with 1681C, the obsolete information. So it's still critical information, and it's still triggered off the date of delinquency.
So does your argument come down to this is information they're required to make this calculation?
Yes.
They're required to determine when the material is obsolete, and it's they're required to do it. It's information that's valuable, and they should to the consumer, and they should disclose it. But what about his argument that they don't have to retain anything? Their only duty of disclosure is what they retain. So.
Yeah, the statute says information that's recorded and retained. But, to go back to 1681C, they have to retain something in order to comply with that act. Okay, there has to
be. It would be odd, I suppose, if they say we don't retain things. So.
Yeah, I think the argument.
Birthday card or something.
The argument that they're opposing, they're trying to dance around the recorded and retained language by coming up with two different arguments, but I mean, the purge date is clearly information that's in the file. It's there for each consumer with a delinquency, and under the clear language, it has to be disclosed. I don't know. I know my time is up. I don't know if I can quickly address this Federal Trade Commission argument, because I think to really understand that the Federal Trade Commission position, you really have to delve into what they were dealing with. They were dealing with the question of these audit trails and other information that sort of is consumer affairs files that they don't really use in preparing consumer reports. So they were doing staff opinion letters on that, and that's then in 1990 how they developed that interpretive guideline. But if you understand the interpretive guideline, it says any information that might be or has been in a put in a consumer report. Well, what is any information that might be in a consumer report? You have to look to the definition of consumer report, and that is any information that has been assembled and collected that relates to the sort of the seven characteristics of a consumer. Well, I mean, if you take that understanding and apply it to the date of delinquency or the purge date, that's information that's related to the creditworthiness of this consumer. So even under the Federal Trade Commission position, if you understand it and sort of get your hands around it, rather than just apply it vaguely like they're doing, it fits in. And don't forget, that's a 1990 guideline. The language that we're dealing with from the statute is from the 1996 amendments. I mean, if Congress
was
really...
Was the guideline adopted by the FTC or just a staff thing?
Well, there were staff opinions, and then they put it in 1990.
An FTC guideline.
Yeah.
You're saying is that the statute is later?
Yes, the 96 amendments. That's when they came up with this, the date of delinquency, because pre-1996, there was a lot of confusion as to what triggered the seven-year period. All right? People were using date of last activity and other things. And so to sort of pin down a date certain, they put in the date of delinquency into the statute. And then they also amended the file disclosure provision to say, rather than say nature and substance, they said all information. So you know, the language we're talking about postdates the FTC reg.